pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're going to turn it over to Mr. Stewart for the superintendent's report.
Good evening. Tonight we left something off of the agenda, and we did it on purpose because it's a great, exciting news. It is a surprise to some people that are seated here in the room. But as many of you know, that on March 23rd, the scope will be having its 14th annual school district awards dinner. And it's a very prestigious awards dinner. The awards are presented only to select individuals who have contributed outstanding service to their school. Many of you know this. We started having a couple nominees be inducted. We had Joe McKeffey in 2011. In 2012, we had our own Olga Kiefer. If you all remember Olga, retired many years ago, wonderful. 2013, we had our own Patricia Cunningham, and of course our wonderful board member, Ms. Wendy Turkington. In 2014, we had Susan Brubaker. If you all remember Susan Brubaker, she retired last year, a wonderful teacher. We had Patricia Gallietta, who was 2014, and we had Veronica Kellner, English instructor from the high school. So tonight, we held this till tonight because we thought it would be a good time to announce. So I have letters here from George Duffy, who is the Executive Director of SCOPE Educational Services. And here I'm just going to read just the beginning of the letter. Dear Mr. Wegner, it is our great pleasure to inform you that you have been selected to receive the 2014-15 SCOPE Teacher Service Award. Individuals receiving this award were nominated by their school district for having provided outstanding service to the district. From George Duffy and SCOPE, we wish to congratulate you on the significant accomplishment. Mr. Wegner. Second recipient, dear Mrs. Rank, it is our great pleasure to inform you that you have been selected to receive SCOPE's Community Service Award. Individuals receiving this award were nominated by their school district for having provided outstanding service to the district. We wish to congratulate you on your significant accomplishment. Our PTA president. Talk about an unsung hero here in the district. It's amazing how this person is actually working up to probably about a half hour ago with some of the things that had to be done tonight to actually cut purchase orders, to work on bios and things of that nature. So, dear Ms. Perkins, it is a great pleasure to inform you that you have been selected to receive the Administrator Service Award. Individuals receiving this award were nominated by their school district for having provided administrative service to the district. From George Duffy. He wishes to congratulate you. Can I get all the recipients just up here for a picture and maybe one or two board members just to come up and take a picture with them? If I can have the three, come on up right into the middle. Did you see? A couple of board members? Right in the middle over there?
I think we have a couple.
You good?
Yeah.
Isn't
that cool?
Yeah. Congratulate all the winners tonight. One thing I will say is probably the person in the family that I have to congratulate, one of the families, is tonight about maybe an hour ago, I had to figure out how to get Mr. Wegner here. And I know, and thank you, Ms. Wegner, I know the job you do and the profession you're in. Literally, she's at work. And I somehow have to get the beautiful child and the family here. I put a lot of pressure on Mr. Wagner. He had no idea why he, as superintendent of schools, why he had to be here. And I pretty much kind of, you know, twisted. So, Mrs. Wagner, thank you. I apologize. I don't spend time. I apologize. Thank you very much. And congratulations to all the winners. Our first presentation, I will leave it to the middle school principal and I think a few advisors, but I'll let you announce them. And I see these wonderful young faces, and we're excited. Robotics.
Thank you. I'd just like to call up Mr. Roy and Mr. Chris to join me. Tonight, we're here to honor our middle school students that participated in our robotics program. For those of you that are not familiar with the program, our middle school students for the first time participated in FTC, First Tech Challenge, and FIRST stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. So before we honor our students with certificates for their participation, I will turn it over to Mr. Roy and Mr. Chris to tell you a little bit about their competition on January 18th. They went to Hewlett High School. And one piece that I will share is that they were the only middle school team at the competition. They competed against all high school teams. So I'm extremely proud of them, and we'll be honoring them with certificates tonight. Do you want to tell a little bit about
Sure. I just want to comment on the middle school part. We started the Legos at the elementary school, I want to say four years ago. I was able to, you know, be an advisor for that. Mr. Temme actually started maybe 5 years ago, but 4 years ago, we started Legos, and these kids have had Legos and Legos and Legos and Legos, and then they make this giant jump to the high school robotics team, which is a big jump. So we tried to push this new program in. We knew it would be a challenge because it's a big jump, but the point is these guys, these boys and girls are going to be ready. You know, they learn more when it's tough, you know, so to get them to compete at this higher level was really, really good for them, and they did awesome. I mean, you could see the robot. It's not Legos. It's controlled by a Lego brain, but it's not quite all metal. It's kind of an erector set. So it's a little bit, it's not a little bit, it's very much in the middle ground between Legos and the varsity-style robots. So it's a lot of work. They have a deadline, just like the high school robotics team has. They announce a challenge. They'll have limited supplies, limited budget. It's supposed to be tricky. It's supposed to be really difficult. My guys are down in the boys and girls are down in the high school right now still trying to compete because our high school robot is due on Friday. So this is on purpose. It's supposed to be difficult. So maybe Mike was fortunate enough to step up, and he's kept me grounded in this robotics thing for a couple of years now. So he was great. I couldn't do both. I could do the high school and the middle school. So we stepped in to help with the middle school. We did the middle school with a little bit of help from the high school kids. So if you could just briefly go over the robot, Mike, and just tell them what the challenge was. We'll try to make it quick, but it is important. They put in so much time. You know, so Mike, if you could.
So every year the challenge is a different game. And basically they play on a 12 by 12 foot field with foam tiles on the floor. And there's certain game elements. This is a mock-up of one of the game elements this year. It's in the opposite corner. There's a ramp that the robot can start on, or a parking area. And then there's a 30-second autonomous period where the robot actually is programmed to operate by itself on its own. And there's a big piece in the middle. We don't have that here, but big goal in the middle. There's a kickstand. If you kick the ball, you can kick the balls at. There's about 120 balls that go flying all over the floor inside this field, and your goal is to pick them up, score them in here, and score them in the goals at the top, and then park the robots or these goals back up on the ramp or in the parking areas. And every year it's different. This year was a real challenge. There's two different size balls. Usually it's only one size. So you're only allowed to hold five at a time. So it was hard to decide how to do that. And these guys came up with tons of ideas. And they did an amazing job. And they built a really cool-looking robot. And they went head-to-head with a whole bunch of high school teams, 23 high school teams. And they did really good. So I'll let them show the robot off a little bit, and that's it.
Actually, no, I didn't want to say something.
Oh, you want to say something else?
That's okay. Go ahead. So while they're driving, I just want to point out, I'm going to use you. I want you to look at the names on the back of this shirt right here, okay? These are the people in this in your community that have helped make the extra stuff happen, and we'll be putting them on the high school robot. But look at the names and the people on here. When you see these names, please make sure that you you use them in town. Utilize these vendors, you know, they really stepped up to the plate and made a lot of extras happen for the kids. So I just wanted to not forget.
Mr. Roy, can you just read them? Because the board can't see them. Either the gentleman has to turn. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I just, you know what I'm saying? I just wanted to kind of point that out because we don't have a banner with us right now. And that's important.
Thank you very much.
All right, so.
Thanks for turning around. That was nice.
I'm going to set that thing up there, guys. Just show them how it goes up. This is kind of a cool part. They also program it, too. It's not like a kit where they just, you know.
The spy wraps tend to wear out after a while.
Yeah. All right, so they got one in, right?
No.
Oh.
They got one.
Let's give you a little help here.
In the tournament, it's actually wireless. They go by Wi-Fi. There's a little wireless router on the front of this. Here you go, guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Robots are hard. All right, there we go. We got one. You didn't cheat, though. Now send it up. This is kind of cool. So the part kind of flops down. Easy, guys. Easy is easy.
It's okay. So one of the things, too, about this competition that's different from most of the other competitions is that they actually have to always be in an alliance with another team. So one time you're working with a school from, say, Syosset or Euclid or whatever, the next time you may be facing against them. And everything's always done as an alliance. So there's a lot of cooperation, and they really have to learn teamwork with strangers that are on other teams. So it's really cool. All right? But it just might have lost communications.
Yeah. All right. So here's, I just want to mention another thing, too. We're going to be playing around with the robot afterwards. If you look in the back corner over here, there's the high school robot stuff, and they're going to be coming down because we have to practice on carpet. So if you're around afterwards and you're interested, you can drive it. We'll be playing around with the robots and the high school robot because we're kind of debugging it right now. So what we're going to do now is we're going to, there you go, call everybody up, and they put in a lot of time. I also just want to really thank the parents. That's a lot of commitment, parents. So coming up here, and it was a lot of late nights. So, parents, thank you very much, because we need this. This country needs this. So let's remember that. All right, so you guys could shut that robot down before it takes over the world.
Go take it outside.
So if we could just. All right. Can we? How do you want to do it?
We're just going to call you up by name for your certificate. So before you take the robot out, hold on 1 second.
Hold on, guys.
We'll call you up by name, and then we'll take a group picture.
Just stand there in there. Whatever you want. All right.
Donovan Bauman.
Come on up.
we can get a few board members and a picture, if you don't mind, right up here.
It's on your wall there, Wendy?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. On behalf of the board, I want to thank Ms. Bates, Mr. Roy, and Mr. Chris, and congratulate all the kids for their achievements here. It's great. Why not?
Here we go. All right, guys, ready? Hey, ready? Everybody say crazy robots on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Crazy robots.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Yeah,
board, you're going to have to want to move out front for the next presentation. You're not going to want to stay where you are.
You're
going to
want to move.
Okay. Yeah. See you later. Good to see you. Thank
you.
Do
you
want a sweater?
I'm actually not freezing. It's just kind of cool. God. No, you're right, Chloe. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Tonight we have Carol's back to work. Tonight I have the 2015 recipient of the Scope Award. And this is a response to the Board of Education's request. As you all know, our last presentation was in regards to staffing and enrollment. The Board of Education, at the end of our last meeting, requested that tonight we have a presentation on salary and benefits. So we have put together what we believe is a pretty well thought out PowerPoint presentation, and we hope that the board enjoys as well as the public. Ms. Carol Perkins.
Okay, tonight's presentation is the second of many that we're going to have before the budget vote, and we're focusing on salary and benefits tonight. Here in front of you, you'll see the summary of expenditures. It's all the expenditures of the school district. Tonight we're just focusing on salaries and benefits, everything within that box, everything below it. We'll be discussing it on subsequent nights. But I just wanted you to see that when you're looking at a school budget, when you're looking at salary and benefits, it makes up about close to 77-80% of the budget. So a school budget is labor intensive. And also, you might want to note that right now the budget is, the 2015-16 budget is fluid as we go through each one of the meetings, so the board will be making decisions as we go forward.
what I would point out as well is this is a fluid document that you're looking at. We kind of went more towards a backwards by design, I guess, model in our presentations. So if you're looking at some of these numbers, and when the end comes, when we head into April, and hopefully the governor will give us our numbers and so on, this will change. But this is actually a snapshot of where we are today and the decisions we actually recommended to the board last meeting. So it is a fluid document.
Okay. So this is a salary and benefit summary. If you compare the 2014-15 budget to the proposed 2015-16 budget, the salaries and benefits is actually a reduction of $173,349. You'll also see the FTEs, there's a reduction of two FTEs. Now, if you read on the top, FTE means full-time equivalents, refers only to staff members who are regularly appointed to their positions by the Board of Education. There may be per diem, there may be hourly. Those staff who receive stipends, such as the coaches, the advisors, chaperones, subs, those salaries are not included in the FTE. So overall, in the 2015-16 budget, there's a reduction of two. And before, when I was talking about looking at salaries and benefits and looking at the budget as in its totality, in 2014-15, salaries and benefits represented over 77% of the budget. And right now, in the 15-16 budget, it represents 76.34%. And that could change. Okay. Another way of looking at salaries, salaries are broken down into two components. One, your instructional salaries, and the other component would be your non-instructional salaries. Your instructional salaries would include your teachers, it would include your administrators, it would include all the your psychologists, your librarians, things like that. Non-instructional salaries would include your support staff. It's your clerical, your building and grounds, your paraprofessionals, your monitors, security. That would all fall under non-instructional salaries. And when you, in comparing the instructional salaries, the 2014-15 to 2015-16, there is an increase of $238,714. And there is a reduction in FTEs of two. And I will be going into that in a little bit more detail in the next slide. Also, non-instructional salaries, there is an increase of $176,751. At this point, there is no change in the FTEs in comparing the 14-15 to the 15-16 school year. Also, if you look at your the proportion of the instructional salaries to non-instructional salaries make up about 80% of that code, and non-instructional is about 20%. Okay, so now we're looking at instructional, non-instructional, and then this is a little bit more detail. What I've done is, if you look at the top part, that's in black. I don't know if you can see there's a difference in color, but the top is in black. There's a line separating the coaches and officials and the clerical staff. And the clerical staff and below, which is in a orangey-reddish color, that's non-instructional, and the black is your instructional staff. So when you look at the instructional staff, it includes your elementary teachers, your secondary, your 7 through 12 teachers, substitute teachers, administrators, including the superintendent, your K-12 staff, that includes your special ed teachers, the librarians, your guidance counselors, your speech teachers, psychologists, and social workers. Then you have your advisors and your chaperones, and you have coaches and officials are included under the instructional staff. You'll notice that Under elementary teachers, there's a reduction in FTEs of 2. And in the last presentation, Mr. Soto had given on enrollment and staffing, he discussed that there would be a reduction of 1 elementary teacher at grade level 2 and 1 at grade level 6. You'll also notice under administrators that there's a reduction of 1 FTE, and that is due to the deputy superintendent on leaving the position he was not in place. So there's a reduction of 1 administrator. There is under K-12 staff, you'll see that there is an addition of 1 FTE. And again, in the last board meeting, Mr. Soto's presentation, he discussed that how due to Part 154 regulations, we have to add 1 ESL teacher to the staff. And so that is included in the 15-16 projections of FTEs. So overall, between in administration, there's a reduction with administration and teachers is a reduction of 2 FTEs. In the clerical, going down to monitors, there is, like I said before, there is no change in FTEs. And you can see with the various categories, the increases. And overall, when you look at instructional and non-instructional salaries, there's an increase of $415,465, which represents a 2% increase. Okay, we had their salaries. Now we have our benefits. Employee benefits includes many components. One is the employer contribution to the retirement system. It includes the employee retirement system and TRS, the teacher's retirement system. Then we have our Social Security, which are the payroll taxes, workers' compensation, you have your unemployment insurance when that's necessary, you have disability, life insurance, health insurance, vision, dental, and welfare fund, which is part of the Teamsters contract. Overall, with total employee, when you look at all the employee benefits, there's a reduction of $588,814. And primarily, the reduction is due to the employee retirement system. Under the ERS, the contribution rate was reduced from 20.1% to 18.6%. And that is reflected in the change of $41,521. The biggest change and the biggest surprise to everybody was TRS. Over, maybe 10 years or more, every year the rate goes up and up and up. And the rate is applied to total salary. So every year you see the TRS line going up and up. This year, they had a decrease, and it went from 17.52% to 13.26%. So that was a substantial decrease, and nobody realized that was happening, and it benefited us. So you see that there is a reduction in the TRS line in the amount of $654,738. Now, that reduction is offset by an increase in health insurance. Every year, the health insurance never goes down, it goes up. With Obamacare, there are additional requirements being imposed, which is affecting health insurance and also workers' comp. And so you see an increase in health insurance of $105,025. So again, overall, the increase from 1415 to 1516 is $588,814. Then you look at your, and I wanted to show you too, if you look at employee benefits to salaries, employee benefits is almost half of salaries. So adding the two together, your salaries and your employee benefits, The change between 14-15 and 15-16 is it's a reduction of 170 or decrease of $173,349. So again, in summary, when you look at salary and benefits, which makes up a large percentage of the school district budget, this year, in 15-16, we anticipate that there's going to be, at this point in time, a decrease of $173,349, along with a reduction of staff or FTEs of 2.
Thank you.
Carol, I just have one question in regards to the deputy superintendent. I know in that contract it had set aside money for her doctoral degree. Whatever happened, was that just never? Did she have to finish it? Like that's
yeah. She had to finish it within the district. She never filed for any. We never paid her for
it. So it wasn't ever put aside?
No.
I didn't know if it was somewhere like put aside to afford when that day happened that she graduated. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
That brings us to the next section of our agenda tonight, which is questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only. Does anybody have any questions or comments regarding tonight's agenda only? If you do, could you come up to the mic and state your name? Okay, great. So I'm going to diverge for a minute from our agenda and had some conversations with Kristen, and I want to give her an opportunity to address the community.
I regret to inform you that really due to unforeseen family circumstances, I'm going to be stepping down from the Board of Education. I will promise to make a formal farewell speech at the next board meeting on March 4th. But even as of yesterday, my father took another fall. So I just have a lot of family things that I really need to take care of my mom and my dad. That's really what it's about. And I miss my kids. But I'll make more of a formal farewell and just thank everyone at the March 4th board. So I just wanted to let everyone know now before we went on vacation.
So I certainly, you know, understand and appreciate, and this is an enormous time commitment, and you know, I don't think that anybody on the board, I hope I can speak for everybody on the board, can say anything, but I certainly understand the pulls of family and the enormous time commitment that being on the board. So from my perspective, I certainly thank you for your time and the knowledge that you brought, and I hope that you don't change your phone number so that when I have questions, I can call and ask you those. Those questions. So, thank you, and I appreciate it and certainly understand.
Thanks, Josh.
So, that brings us to the next section of our agenda, which is adopt the regular meeting. Help me, Carol. Regular minutes
of the
regular meeting of January 28, 2015. Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resignation.
Motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resolutions. Resolved that the Board of Education hereby appoints Dr. Randall Solomon as school medical inspector pursuant to Section 913 of New York State Education Law in order to evaluate the fitness of the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule A to perform his or her duties, and be it further resolved that pursuant to Section 913 of the New York State Education Law, the Board of Education directs the employee named in the attached confidential Schedule A to appear for examination in the office of Dr. Randall Solomon at a date and time to be scheduled.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts, as well as at the established cost contained in said contracts.
Are we going to back out Seneca?
Yeah, so what you would do is you'd make a sub-motion, and you would make a motion either to table it, and at that some point you could make a motion to remove it from the table, or you make a motion to postpone until a date certain.
Seneca, there's some...
Language
changes to the contract. So make a motion to table it until a future date.
If you table it, just goes motion like you're placing it on the table, and at a future date, you'll make a motion to remove it from the
motion
table.
Motion to table the Seneca contract till a future date.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Now you can vote on the primary motion.
Motion to approve the remaining contracts in subsection 8 of the agenda.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Yep. I'll be with you 1 second. Recommended action upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the budget transfers.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The Board of Education has approved an independent claims auditor to review bills and authorize the processing of payment during the period between Board of Education meetings. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the report by the independent claims auditor for the month of January 2015 and authorizes payment of the monthly bills listed on warrants for the month of January 2015 as audited by the independent claims auditor as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following responsible bid vendor, R.S. Abrams, LLP, to serve as the district's internal auditor for the 2015-2016 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Real Property Tax Law, Section 458A, Veterans. Whereas, Chapter 518, Section 458A, Subdivision 2, Paragraph D.
Hey, Pat, you can just... Can we just say motion to adopt Section 12?
Thank you.
Motion to adopt the resolution set forth in Section 12A and 12B of the agenda relating to the Real Property Tax Law Veterans Exemption, Real Property Tax Law Gold Star Parents Exemption. Motion.
Proudly make the motion.
Second.
Proudly make the second motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
The applause should go out to the veterans, not to us.
Yep.
Agree.
Absolutely.
Absolutely agree.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the months of October, November, and January for the 2014-2015 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. General discussion on the 2015-2016 budget calendar.
Just like we did last time, Board of Education, and that's up to you at this point in time. You don't have to make a decision, but you gave me my marching orders for tonight, and I hopefully well received them. Ms. Perkins, I think you did an absolutely fabulous job. Thank you. I think I have kind of a lot of emails back and forth from individuals, but just tonight as a group, I figured that maybe you could just give a direction, although I think I have some of it, most of it. I thought the public would like to know the direction of the budget for our next meeting, which is March
5th?
Is it 4th? March 4th, the next presentation. Just give me kind of some guidance of what maybe you're looking for the next presentation.
So what I think I'd like to see at the next presentation, we've now seen the large majority of the budget. We've seen the salary, we've seen the benefits. We have a general idea of the revenue side, although it's not yet firmed because we don't know what's coming from the state. We don't know tuition. I think that, in my view, and I think this is along the lines of what we discussed, the next portion of it would be, you know, here are we've got the cost of those mandated programs, and then here's what's left, and your recommendations based upon, A, what's left, what's working great, what we think could be better, additional programs we've heard from the curriculum committee that we may want to add, and the recommendation from administration as to how to take those programs that fit it within what we're trying to do. Whether that means change out the programs, live with what we've got, but look at it from, you know, to use Gary's term, the bottom up, and say, yes, we've got this mandated piece of X million that we have to do. But we've got this other bucket of, quote unquote, non-mandated. From an educational perspective, what do we think the best usage of those dollars is for? But I really want to stress, and I've stressed this all along, and I know that it's hard because when we have a program, we feel like we own it and we live it and we know the people and we've worked on this program. Really try to look at it with open eyes as to what's best. What could we otherwise do with these dollars? And unfortunately, you know, the dollars are not enough to do everything we want to do. But I really want that to be a focus.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Makes a lot of sense, and I hope all the directors and the principals listen to it, but I have it on audio so I can play it in AC tomorrow.
John, did you want to ask? I know that you asked me to clarify something, like a couple things of the emails that went back and forth. Was there anything you wanted to ask me?
I think it was along the lines of that, what we kind of discussed.
We kind of broke down elementary, middle school, mm-hmm. high school, and especially in regards to some of them with, like, even getting a deeper understanding of, like, the reading teacher. So, like, last year, we approved the reading teacher, for instance, to see where we're at with that with numbers-wise. And
what does that mean,
numbers-wise? Well, because last year we added an additional reading teacher. So how many children did that serve?
Right.
And are those children still in need of reading? Or are they done with it? So if you looked at the high school picture, the middle school picture, and then, like, kind of like we discussed and then broke down for the elementary, Josh was asking me more questions about in regards to the programs as far as if a youngster was, like, in Read 180. How do we know the youngster was successful or not? And in other words, did they exit the program in 1 year? Did they exit the program in 2 years? More of like, you know, and this is your term, I think, Mr. Stewart, better bang for your buck. Like, are we really seeing the type of success that we were hoping to when we purchased these items?
That's exactly what I'm envisioning without the specific. The specifics are what I think would come, but to use that example, we've got this particular program. It's a non-mandated program. We believe that, I would say, here are the 10 programs that we've narrowed this down to, you know, or 20 or whatever the number is. You know, this we believe is extremely effective because we've seen this growth.
Right.
This we believe could be better, or while it's a good program, we think this other program, but at the same time, I think, and we've talked about this, I want to do that with a view towards not 1 year at a time. We believe that starting this program tomorrow, yes, this program's okay and it's working, but this program would be better and it's something we can implement over 5 years or 3 years, you know, however that works. So I agree with you, yeah.
What was it, Mr. Stewart, as far as some of the programs, and I know your elementary principals here, most of them have been here for now 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have at least 3 years worth of data to clean back on to see the success, you know, of them, just to, you know, enlighten us to make sure that, you know, the programs are what we thought they were, basically.
Yeah. what I also would say to the board, just that we're talking about that, because we're talking about revenue. You know, one thing as a community should know, one of the things that I look at very closely of measuring how our schools are doing is the enrollment of East Bariches. And we constantly look at that. And I think all of you have heard me say each year that we've had record-breaking numbers. As of this year, we have more percentage-wise than ever before in the history of Santa Mariches, which is incredible and exciting. But I just want to say to the Board of Education that today I had a conversation with Dr. Russo, and it appears once again that it's going to be an outstanding banner year for the Santa Mariches School District and the enrollment for East Bariches. And that is a testament to the faculty here, the teachers, the paras, the monitors, the secretaries. I cannot say enough about the reality of what's going on behind closed doors. And once again, I'm excited to see how many East Bariches students are coming again. And you'll see that on the revenue side, as I'm going to see. Like I said, it was not an absolute with Carol Perkins was showing you tonight. So those numbers will reflect that as we move forward. So, congratulations.
So do you know?
I'm good to go.
Got it. Does anybody else have any comments on what they expect to see at the next meeting? What about the following meeting? Do we need the following presentation? Do we want to talk about that, or are we better served in waiting until we're tighter on revenue numbers to kind of understand where that's going?
Better the way we're doing it now to build each week.
I agree.
To kind of get an idea and see where we are. And then if we have any questions still for next week, we can add that for the week after.
Yep. It takes us to the next section of our agenda, which is questions and comments from the community on items not on the agenda tonight. Anybody have any? Great. Thank you. Dates to remember, the next Board of Educational meeting will be March 4th, 2015, 7:30 p.m. here in the high school library. Motion to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of what?
No, you just said, hold on.
Oh, hang on.
It's in here.
Bear with me. Motion to adjourn to executive session for the purpose of conducting discussions relating to proposed, pending, or current litigation, collective negotiation under the Taylor Law with the Paraprofessionals Union, to discuss medical, financial, or credit history of any person or corporation or matters leading to the appointment, promotion, demotion, discipline, or termination of a particular person or corporation. Other matters, the disclosure of which would result in an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, and the preparation, grading, or administration of examinations.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate everybody's time.